We are joined by Jeff O'Brien. He is an attorney extraordinaire, barrister, lawyer extraordinaire. He's all these extraordinary things from Chestnut Cambrone. And it will, you know what will be extraordinary, Jeff, is if you could help me dissect this saga with John Thompson, state legislature. And you noted my daughter, Sam, mentioned it when you were on the AM 1130 morning show last Friday. There's many layers to this. Now, let's just start by reminding people who aren't following the story who John Thompson is. If you recall, go ahead. There was the Hugo thing. It started with that.
Yep.
And that was when...
Well, you can go further back. So he was friends with Philando Castile, the black man who was shot and killed by police in, was it Falcon Heights or St. Anthony Park or whatever it was. So that's where he's been very active on the anti-police cause ever since then. I first met him at a city council meeting. I was there for a hearing for one of my clients, and it was the night they were taking away the police off of the citizen review board, and he was up speaking, and there was a point in the meeting where someone in the city council talked about police officers putting their lives on the line every day, and he stood up and said, I put my life on the line every day because I'm a black man. That's where he comes from. And then, yes, you're right. He opted to run for state representative in 2020.
St. Paul. But now he was already declared he was running when he went to Hugo and to protest in front of Bob Kroll's house, the head of the police union at the time, and to say that Hugo was going to burn. He basically threatened to burn it to the ground. Walls, our beloved governor, continued to support his run for the legislature. Actually, Walls had been supportive of him. A week or so ago, he turned on Walls, and I don't remember what the reason was, but what became real interesting with this guy is what happened a week or so ago. Gets pulled over for a traffic stop, did not have a license plate on the front of his car. Now, here's where it gets interesting. He does not have a Minnesota license. Apparently, he hasn't had one for the last 18 years since he's lived here. He's got a Superior, Wisconsin's license, and he renewed that license while he was running for the state legislature. Now, what I want to know is when the cops pulled him over, and there's many, many more pieces to this, was it a Wisconsin license plate that was missing, or was he driving with Minnesota plates? Do you know?
I have not heard anything that there was Wisconsin plates. I've heard just that there were I believe that there was Minnesota plate on the back of the car.
Can you do
just a missing?
You mean if it was his car and he was driving and he has a Wisconsin license, can he have Minnesota plates on a car that he owns? That's even minor compared to the other stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And I already renewed the license, the Wisconsin license. It was actually November of 2020. So
yeah,
he's running. Being elected. And so the other question is, was he over there voting while he was getting his license too? Did he vote both places? You know, that's the question. I guess, and I keep saying this, the $64,000 question is, why the hell did he have a Wisconsin license? What was he doing with it? Why did he need it? I hear that he has unpaid child support. He's now entered into a plan or paid off the child support. But I have talked to some people that said that when you get caught driving on a suspended license, or driving without a license, or driving without a license, the penalty, your license is revoked for 60 days. But you know, he's a state rep and his party's in charge. So Tim Walz's public safety department reinstated his driving privileges, you know, 3 days after this.
But how can they reinstate privileges for someone who is basically using a Wisconsin license? And several years ago when I think it was revoked or suspended, the ability to have a license is what was suspended. He didn't have a Minnesota license to suspend.
No, not.
And this traffic stop, he claimed racism, that he was being profiled. He is the guy who has been pushing as hard or harder than anyone that video camera, body cam footage of cops be released whenever it involves something where there's someone who gets shot or there's an issue. Yet he refuses to release the body cam of his confrontation with police, where he made sure to point out that he was a state legislator, which makes you wonder, he may just be the biggest hypocrite in Minnesota. Although, is he the biggest hypocrite in Minnesota or the biggest hypocrite in Wisconsin, because he's still, as far as it appears, he's a Wisconsin resident. And that brings me to another thing, and I'm going to let you, you can then share your thoughts on all of these. Why is he still in the state legislature? If he has a Wisconsin license, he's not a Minnesotan. So why is he still in the legislature, and why? Is it because his party is rallying to protect him, or they're just assuming it will go away like many other issues go away?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. You know, either he either perjured himself on the Wisconsin driver's license application last November, or he lied on his application of for candidacy, which I understand he put down. He checked the box that said it's a private address. It has to remain private because he's subject to a protective order, which is not the case.
Witness protection?
No, like a protective order, like someone's like, you know, if somebody is like a victim of domestic violence, they can go in and get a protective order against the other party, right? And you can hide your address. But he's not a victim of, he's, to my knowledge, there's no reason why he would need a, like, he's subject to, he's protected
well,
by a protective
Yeah, unless
order.
You don't have a, you. He knows he's legally not a resident. Don't you, I would think if you were running for a state seat in the legislature, you would have to put your driver's license number down. I mean, it would seem to make sense, right? Because that's part of your ID, isn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, this highlights a bigger problem. This is, you know, there's a lot of different layers, like, you know, he said and Sam said on Friday, about this story. But one that I think that isn't really given a lot of airtime to is this "I am a state representative" comment and this whole attitude, the way that this party has handled John Thompson. In Minneapolis and St. Paul particularly, we see a lot of folks running for office on the DFL side who they're listening. You look at the legislative manuals and what their occupation is. It says community activist. You know, all they do is politics, 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 politics. They organize, right?
Yeah.
And then they run for office. They aren't doctors, lawyers. They don't do anything. They don't contribute anything. They just are politics 24/7, 365. So this attitude, they have an attitude in Minneapolis and St. Paul of we could run, a turd and we can still get elected. And they'll still get elected because they have a D by their name, right?
Yeah.
So they can put up whatever they want. And the candidates that are coming out of these two cities are getting more and more partisan and more extreme. And John Thompson is really the jump the shark moment here. I mean, you've got a guy who threatened to burn down a suburb and nobody denounced him and he got elected.
No.
And he'll get elected again, because he puts his name on the ballot with a D by his name.
Well, Jeff, Minneapolis is in shambles now. And when the elections come up for the city council people, if they continue to get elected, that city is beyond doomed. I mean, they have destroyed, mm-hmm. and it will, the ripple effect around the state will be felt. It's being felt already. It's terrible what's mm-hmm. happening with these, with Minneapolis and now with this guy, Thompson. I mean, somebody from that party, the DFL, has got to stand up and condemn his actions. And that's not, you know what, though? I think they're all afraid of being called a racist. Because that's what he's going to call someone.
That's what's going to happen here. This is not a good moment for the DFL. You have the suburban senators and representatives who are all on the ballot next year, who are worried about this. I saw a few of them distancing themselves from Thompson on Twitter starting on Friday. You have, you know, these milquetoast comments of, you know, they focus on this "I am a state representative" comment. They aren't condemning anything else, right? Nobody's pushing him to allow the body cam footage. The way the law works is that the party that's on camera, the private citizen on camera, has to consent to its release, and he will not. And I've heard that it's very unflattering for him.
Of course he won't. Never will, and he's going to just assume, and it will blow over.
Right.
But if this
the only time the DFL ever takes action against one of its own is if it threatens their elective chances, right? And if this is going to cause problems for the statewide candidate, you have the governor on the ballot next year as well, in the suburbs, you know, they might try to take an action to try to force him out, but that's going to have a huge ripple effect among the progressives, among Black Lives Matter. They're just this coalition of these crazy groups, and every time, and they can't do anything principled, because every time they do something, one faction of their little coalition acts up, and that's just enough to tip it so that they aren't, so that they end up with the Republicans. So that's, again, like I said, their sole focus is on maintaining power. That is more important than anything else to them, is maintaining power. So if they can, we'll see where this goes. If this doesn't blow over, then they may have to do something.
Well, I mean, it is. I think it probably will blow over because nobody is pushing. I don't see an outcry from the media other than, you know, maybe when you talk Friday on AM 1130 or K-Talk and what we're talking about. But mainstream media.
Tom Hauser's the only political reporter even talking about this. You know, Esme Murphy and the other.
But is he condemning what happened?
He's just reporting it. He just keeps digging up layers and layers and layers.
Well, what I want to know again is, why does he still have a Wisconsin license plate or license? And if it's a Wisconsin license, on that license is your official address. He needs to be thrown out of the legislature or forced to resign, or they just basically banned. He should not be allowed to take a seat in that legislature if he does not have a Minnesota address. But, well, again, we'll see how it plays out. As always, greatly appreciated, Jeff. Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. The BS Show will take a quick break, and we will be right back.